This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
8:46 a.m. You're with Julian, Joyce and Sheraton. We're looking into the top business news of the day. Now, it looks like the tax collection under Pakatan Harapan is off to a good start, achieving record collections for direct taxes last year. According to the Ministry of Finance, the Inland Revenue Board of Malaysia collected about 137 billion in direct taxes, which is 11% more than the approximately 123 billion collected in 2017.
Right, and the Ministry of Finance attributed the rise to the increased collection from components of taxpayers, such as companies, individuals, petroleum, cooperative stamp duty and others. Now, the income tax, meanwhile, the Ministry of Finance have said revenue collected from the income tax, other than petroleum, contributed almost 117 billion ringgit of the Inland Revenue Board total's direct tax collection last year.
Yeah, that's about 85% of the IRB's total direct tax collection last year. And the Ministry of Finance also revealed that its total sales and service tax collection up to December 31st last year was 5.4 billion ringgit. That surpassed the earlier forecast, about 4 billion ringgit.
So as I understand it, the SST was implemented and took over from the GST in September, effectively. So that's one quarter of collection amounting to about 5.5 billion. So it ties into the forecast. In fact, it exceeds it slightly when you kind of annualize that one quarter multiplied by four, that comes up to almost 21 billion ringgit, which is close to the finance ministry's target of 20 billion to, you know, replace the GST. Not completely replace, because the GST collection was about 40 something billion.
There's
before and
gap.
Now there is a 20 billion gap there.
Right. And so the Minister of Finance, Guan Eng, he has said that it will take 3 years to restore the fiscal position. On the fiscal note now, Lim Guan Eng has reiterated that it could take up to 3 years to restore Malaysia's fiscal position following the 1MDB scandal, and that once the country's fiscal position has been restored, now Malaysia will then progress, and he hopes that the Malaysians can be patient. Now, this isn't new, and he has said this multiple times before, including on The Breakfast Grill.
Well, the finance minister has pointed out that the government's estimated dependence on petroleum revenue this year is only 19.5%. This excludes the one-time 30 billion ringgit special dividend from Petronas to partially finance the payment of unpaid GST and income tax refunds. But yeah, I think it's we should minimize our dependence when it comes to oil revenue, right? At the end of the day, oil prices are so volatile.
Yeah, exactly. And the resource is not going to be there forever as well. I think Malaysia is already almost depleting its oil resources, while Petronas invests overseas in other oil fields. I think there is a chance that that, you know, the alternatives and the kind of supply that's coming out around the world would give oil a good run for its money. And that's the reason why we are also seeing OPEC members actually struggling to cut productions, to cut out deals, to cut productions. And this is a very interesting space, I think. And speaking of SST, some analysts have pointed out to the new tax system as a possible boost to consumer spending, because industry experts believe that SST policy is a positive one and would boost consumer spending.
Right. And also CEO Danny Wong from Arika Capital. Now, he noted that the optimism towards the consumer sector has been picking up since last year, and expects the sentiment to continue improving in the first half of this year. Now, why this is so? The positive indicators, according to Danny Wong, it includes consumer-friendly government policies, stable economy prospects, foreign fund inflows, and then there's a lag in effect in the impact of the transition from the GST to the SST.
I think basically he's saying that more money is circulating in the system, and we need money to be circulating so that that will be spending. You know, if there's no money circulating, there'll be no spending.
Well, it's interesting that he's saying this, because some of my friends in the retail sector who are on the ground are saying that people are still not spending. I mean, they're still holding back. There are concerns that, you know, when it comes to this year, when it comes to your increment or even job security, there are concerns there. So it's still still not many people are spending. I'm not sure where Danny Wong is getting his... Maybe he's seeing a different kind of retail sector.
Yeah.
It could be different industries because it's subcomponents. You have F&B, you have clothes, and you know there are different things, services. So
I think a lot of analysts are also still analysing how this SST will impact the economy, because some of the earlier analysis feel that this is inflationary because the producers or manufacturers can't pass on the tax like GST to the consumer. So
which
what
is
they'll
the consumption
do,
tax.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what they'll do is that they will raise prices, right? And the price inflation would sort of escalate to a few products. You know, when you buy something and you then work on it and sell it off to other people and the next producer works on the product, it will have a sort of an escalating inflationary effect, which may actually curb some spending. So I think the actual impact of the SST is still being played out.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Right. And analyst Nafisa Azmi as well chimed in from M Investment Bank. Now, it is equally positive about the consumer sector outlook and it's maintaining an overweight call on the sector.
Yeah, well, interesting. Also another analyst. Well, looking at this, I think we also have a story coming up from the Edge Financial Daily on job cuts. There are some potential worries when it comes to job cuts that's rising but not yet alarming. This also follows this news online where Media Prima has offered a mutual separation scheme for their TV staff.
That's right. We all have covered very well the stories of how media companies are going through some sort of existential crisis, right? Or the crisis in their business model because people are consuming their news and consuming their entertainment and media in very different ways. So it's not surprising that Media Prima has come up with a kind of offer for their staff who work under TV3. Actually, TV3, previously it was offered a VSS or a voluntary separation scheme. And interestingly, a career break leave or CBL, you know, the acronyms for everything. So you got VSS, CBL, and now MSS, which is mutual separation scheme for employees in selected departments of Media Prima.
Right. And since we're speaking about the MSS, the job cuts are rising, but it's not yet alarming now. The Media Prima news might make one thing that the job market is in dire straits. But while there has been many reports of layoff in the past 1 year, now economists say that they are not yet of alarming proportions. Now this is part and parcel of the evolving labour of market. Now Sunway University Business School economic professor Dr. Ya Kim Leng told The Edge Daily that if downsizing is persistent and spread out across different sectors and industries, then it will be a cause for concern rather than the anticipated slowdown of the overall economy.
Yeah, he adds that so far the downsizing appears specific to industries facing more challenging operating conditions, such as rising competition or production costs. And one of them, I think, is the construction sector. Randstad Malaysia, in its 2019 market outlook report released last Thursday, highlighted that a bulk of hiring activities have slowed down in the construction and property sector. This is since May 2018. This could be due to the Pakatan Harapan government reviewing big ticket infrastructure projects like the KL Singapore High Speed Rail and the MRT2 line. So yeah, it could be a lot of reasons, I guess, the multiplier effect from that.
Yeah, that's right. Cancellation of big projects would result in some kind of a negative multiplier. However, Professor Yeah says that a hopeful sign is a sharp increase in investment approvals in 2018, but this will take about 2 to 3 years to work through the economy, especially into employment creation. Also on December 3rd, 2018, Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng announced the total approval for direct investments or FDI in the manufacturing sector to hit about 35 billion from May to September 2018. This is a 37% increase.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and speaking about workers, now local employers worry about shortage of digital skilled workers, and this is according to JobStreet. And country manager Gan Bok-hum. Now, he mentioned that Malaysian employers are concerned with the shortage of local digitally skilled talents. Now, this is to serve the transformation of the digital economy. Now, he also said that most employers are willing to invest in internal skill-enhancing programs to train new workers on specific skill sets, putting in more formal development programs in specific areas and doing it in stages.
This is interesting. So I guess it boils down to the industries. And Jobstreet.com, I think they undertook a survey, gathered about 20,000 candidates over 365 employers, and it revealed that 96% of employers believe that the domestic labour market, they will adapt to the shift of the digital economy. And the survey further noted that education, logistics, business process outsourcing and insurance sectors registered the highest growth of hiring activity throughout 2018.
There you go. Challenges and crisis in some sectors results in opportunities in other sectors. Yeah. Talking about opportunities, China has announced its economic growth rate for 2018 and it's 6.6%. Unfortunately, this is the slowest annual pace of growth that China has recorded since the 1990s. Now, this is not new because I think that when we speak to our Market Watch guests, you know, this is a very well anticipated number. This is not surprising to anybody. But the question right now is that in this trade tension between the US and China, and China is no longer able to grow at the kind of fast breakneck pace as before, 8 to 9%. It's now the second largest economy in the world. It's quite hard for China to grow that way. But in that trade tension, how will a region like ASEAN do? And Malaysia, how would a country like Malaysia do in that fight between the two giants, right?
Right, yeah. And the uncertain outlook for Chinese exporters, now they cause companies to delay investing and hiring and in some cases even to resort to layoffs. A practice apparently discouraged by China's stability-obsessed Communist Party ruler. For instance, in the Southern Technology and Export Manufacturing Center of Shenzhen, many private makers of electronics, textile and also auto parts for low workers. Now, more than 2 months before the Lunar Year holiday, which will begin in February, according to business owners and local officials who spoke to the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah, I think that the Chinese government has a lot of challenges on its hands. I think we wouldn't hear the last of pump priming in China, but they have to also be very, very cautious about the debt in the entire economy. And this is going to play out to see how it would affect ASEAN and indeed the economy of our own nation, Malaysia. So we'll be coming back with reporting of what's happening in FBM KLCI coming up after the 9 a.m. news. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.